This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. We are led by our senior pastors, Jeff and Tracy Lamont. Today's sermon is titled Grace Changes Everything and was recorded on October 27th. It's our prayer that God will use it to begin and reveal something new in you. God bless.
Amen. Can you give my wife a good hand? I so appreciate her. Amen. We've been in a series called Grace Changes Everything. Everybody say it with me. Grace changes everything. I hope the last 3 weeks have been encouraging to you. I hope you've grabbed onto some things that have hopefully encouraged your heart, helped you see things in a bit of a different way. We gave a couple of weeks ago a grace challenge to all of us. I want to keep it in front of you. I'd love for you to quite honestly grab a hold of this and continue to do it through the rest of this year. I forgot to mention last week, but if you have a testimony, would you email it to me? I'd love to hear how God is using the grace challenge. G stands for give something undeserved to someone. You know, a great way to do that is to use our cards as you exit. You'll see that little board in the back with the little cards, and you can, one says God loves you, and it's a great way just to buy somebody's lunch, pick up somebody's Starbucks, do something kind, and give them a card, you know, and just because you want to show them the grace of God, the love of God. R is redeem someone with God's love when they're struggling and don't feel deserving. A is accept and befriend someone you typically wouldn't. Go outside your comfort zone, outside your friend circle, and make a friend with someone. And through that, man, you're just going to communicate God's love in a whole new way to their lives. Create a safe atmosphere for others, and then extend forgiveness and seek peace. And I believe even through that last one, there can be some great healings and some great restoration that happens in relationships. So that's our grace challenge. Want to keep it in front of you. Want to encourage you to really pray about that and see how God might use that to make a difference in and through your life. Well, this morning, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. We're going to finish our series on grace today. And like I said, I hope you've really grabbed onto some things. Because grace is a concept that's so powerful, it's so unique to Christianity. It's the thing that sets Christianity apart from every other religion, and it's a word that, quite honestly, I think has multiple meanings. A lot of times we hear grace defined as God's riches at Christ's expense, and there's certainly that angle of grace. Another way that I've liked to define grace is God's empowering presence. And if you look at the Bible and you read portions of Scripture that have the word grace in them, and you try to substitute God's riches at Christ's expense, sometimes it won't make sense. Sometimes it will, sometimes it won't. But in the verses that it doesn't, if you substitute God's empowering presence, watch how it makes sense. Watch how powerful it is. And this morning I want to talk about the fact that God's grace gives us the ability to change. And deeply desire. It could be that you want to stop smoking. It could be that you want to break a bad habit. It could be that you need freed from an addiction. It could be that you want to start doing something that you're not currently doing. Maybe you need to exercise. Maybe you need to become more productive, more organized. Whatever it is in your life where there's a deep sense of change that's needed, grace can help you with that. I want to show you this morning that very thing. And grace is ministered to us through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now you realize the Father's in heaven, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for us, and the Holy Spirit is our touch point with God here on this earth. The Holy Spirit brings conviction. The Holy Spirit brings empowerment. The Holy Spirit brings peace and comfort. The Holy Spirit is moving and working right now in your heart and in your life. And when we talk about change, a lot of times we think about New Year's resolutions. And the number one New Year's resolution from polls is losing weight. People want to lose weight. Number one thing. They might want to find love. They might want to save money. But the number one thing is losing weight. Now, an interesting thing, they do polls about this. Only 64% of people who make a New Year's resolution even last 1 month with that resolution. Only 46% last up to 6 months. And by the end of the year, only 12% have actually succeeded. That means out of 100 people that make a New Year's resolution to adapt some type of change in their life, at the end of the year, only 12 of them have succeeded. And I want to show you this morning something, and you're gonna almost find this too hard to believe, but I absolutely believe it, and I think you'll see it when we point it out in Scripture, that there's a way that you can change that's not hard and that doesn't require great willpower. And it has to do with God's grace, and it has to do with the ministry of the Holy Spirit to you. God's grace can help us change. But first thing we need to do to find the power to change in our life is we need to understand what we might call the bad news, the corrupt and incorrigible nature of your flesh and my flesh. And this is one of the things that I think sometimes gets confusing for us as Christians. We don't understand that we constantly live in the state of a battle. That there's this old man, the scripture talks about, the old person, the flesh, the old nature that's always resident within us because of the fallenness and brokenness in this world, because of sin and the choice that Adam and Eve made. But then if we become a Christian, there's a new life that has birthed in us. The Spirit of God has come to live within us. But there's a battle and there's a choice to make every single day on who's going to win that battle, who's going to trump in our lives. Are we going to be people who walk by the Spirit or people who are ruled by our flesh, that resident old nature that's still there and still warring against the good things God would want to do in your life? Now, this word incorrigible means it can't be changed. You're never going to change that old nature. You can only adapt the new nature. You can come into relationship with Christ, and the Bible calls it being born again. But you can't change the old fallen nature. And I want to show you a passage, and I want to show it to you in the Message so you can hear it in a totally different way than you've ever heard it probably before. In Romans chapter 7, and this is the Apostle Paul, and if Paul, who was such an incredible man of God, feels this way, I think you and I probably can relate also. He wants to change, but he's talking about this battle within that makes it hard to change. But he's not going to leave us there, and so many times you hear people talk about this, but they just leave you stuck there. And I don't want to leave us stuck there because I believe God's got an answer. Paul's just explaining the problem, but he's going to go on to give us the solution. So Romans chapter 7 from the Message, and Trace, can you help me here to let me know when I need to change my slide, because I'm going to take a couple slides, I think, to get through this. It says, I can anticipate the response that's coming. This is Romans 7, verse 14. I know that all God's commands are spiritual, but I'm not. Isn't this also your experience? Yes, I'm full of myself after all. I've spent a long time in sin's prison. When I don't understand about myself, what I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way. So if I can't be trusted to figure out what's best for myself and then do it, it becomes obvious that God's command is necessary. But I need something more. For if I know the law, but still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. And I really want to focus on that this morning. This isn't about willpower. This is about surrendering to God and letting Him empower you. Okay? Just want to throw that in. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in action. Something's gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. Here's where I need to change my slide. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me, listen to this, covertly rebel. And just when I leave, there's no one who can do anything for me. I don't know about you, but I've felt that way at times. I've absolutely felt that battle internally. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. Can you say amen to that? He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions, where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but I'm pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. Now, can I just ask you honestly, do we all here in the room understand this struggle? Yes. We love God, and yet there's times we struggle. We want to do right. Deep within our hearts, we want to do right. And yet there's this flesh overt rebellion that it King James Version puts it. Romans chapter 7, verses 20 through 24. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. This is how Paul concludes it in the King James. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? So this is just a little bit of understanding that corrupt and incorrigible nature that's within every one of us because of sin and brokenness in this world. I completely relate to this. I love Jesus with all my heart, but sometimes I struggle. And if I'm going to change, I have to realize there will always be a war within me. Chapter 7 closes with those words, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" But remember, when this was originally written, there were no chapters. So we don't want to just cut off at chapter 7. We want to go to chapter 8. Because chapter 7 runs right into chapter 8. There were no chapter divisions when this was originally written. And let me just tell you this, because this is what you're going to hear, and I'm going to read it to you through the message, but if you were to read it in another version, like the New King James or the NIV, the first 16 verses of chapter 8 include 15 references to the power and the presence and the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is absolutely key to you and I being able to rise above this flesh that wants to pull us down and be able to overcome in Jesus' name. Remember, the way that we change is to recognize our flesh is incorrigible. It can't change, but then we have to understand the purpose and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, who gives us grace, God's empowering presence, to live and act a different way. This isn't about changing through our willpower. This is about changing through His power. Let me say that again, because you need to get that this morning. This isn't about you changing by your willpower. This is about you changing through God's power. Okay, we got three amens that time. One more time. This isn't about you changing through your power. It's about changing through God's power. Amen?
Amen.
Romans chapter 8, in the message once again. Listen to these words and hear them with fresh ears this morning. With the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved. Remember, we've just ended with, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death?" With the arrival of Jesus, that fateful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. The Spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. This is the Holy Spirit, that strong wind coming in and freeing you, cleaning the air. God went for the jugular, I like this, when He sent His own Son. He didn't deal with the problem as something remote and unimportant. In His Son Jesus, He personally took on the human condition, entered the disordered mess of struggling humanity in order to set it right once and for all. The law code, weakened as it always was by fractured human nature, could never have done that. The law always ended up being used as a band-aid on sin instead of a deep healing of it. And now what the law code asked for, but we couldn't deliver, is accomplished as we, instead of redoubling our own efforts, there's the willpower thing, simply embrace what the Spirit of God is doing in us. There's God's work within us. Those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely that person ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what he's doing, and God isn't pleased at being ignored. Verse 9, but if God himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. Anyone, of course, who's not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, that's the Holy Spirit, won't know what we're talking about. But for you who welcome him, in whom he dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does, as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With his Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ. So don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is to give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons. There's things to do. There's places to go. The resurrection life you receive from God's not a timid grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" Can you give the Lord praise for that? Is that awesome or what? Man, is that powerful. 15 different times in that passage, the Holy Spirit in his ministry, in his work, in your life, personally, within you, is mentioned. If you and I don't truly learn how to live by the power of the Spirit, day in and day out, developing a relationship, a personal, real relationship with the Holy Spirit himself, God's presence, alive and at work within you, if we don't develop that relationship, understand that relationship, then we're always going to be battling sin. And sin's oftentimes going to have the upper hand. See, God never intended for you and I to live without the Holy Spirit. When God was creating Adam in the Garden of Eden, it says he breathed his breath into him. That was the pneuma. That was the Spirit of God. That was the breath of God. That's exactly what Holy Spirit means, the breath of God. It's what filled Adam. When Adam sinned, he didn't lose his physical breath, but he lost that connection with God. You and I have been given that connection back through the Holy Spirit's power and presence. When we're born again, when we come into relationship with God, we can now learn to live, and it's a day in and day out learning of how to live by the power of the Holy Spirit within us, because the flesh will absolutely battle you from being a Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered believer. The flesh doesn't want you doing anything of the Spirit. The flesh wants you a slave to the flesh. The Spirit wants to free you from the things of the flesh that hold you back from walking fully with God. There's a battle constantly going on. Galatians 5, verses 16 through 23, you know this passage. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, or battles against the Spirit, is jealous of the Spirit, doesn't want the Spirit alive and empowering you in your life. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, when you welcome, when you make place for, when you allow the Spirit to empower you, when you give Him first place, when you seek Him first, when you live Spirit, soul, then body, is not body, soul, then Spirit. When your spirit man is strengthened, is daily strengthened through worship, through prayer, through the Word of God, through spending time in God's presence, then you'll be led by the Spirit. You'll be empowered by the Spirit. But there is a law of sin in every one of us. There is only one way to be set free from it, and that's to obey a higher law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You've got two choices every day: walk in the flesh or walk in the Spirit. As you become a more mature Christian, I hope you discern this. I hope you see it more and more clearly. Wow, oh man, I'm walking in the flesh right now. I'm doing the things that were listed in this long list here, and these are not, a lot of them are not good things. I'm walking in jealousy right now. I'm in the flesh. Oh my gosh, I've got hatred stirring in my heart toward that brother or sister, or toward that person who cut me off in traffic. I must be walking in the flesh right now. If I'm walking in the Spirit, there's a fruit that grows out of that. I like to call it the personality of Jesus. You and I should have the personality of Jesus expanding and growing more and more and more. You should be able to ask the people closest to you, do you see more of the fruit of the Spirit in my life this year than you did last? Do you think I'm a more patient person than I was last year? How about a more loving person? How about a more good person? How about a more long-suffering person? Go right on down the list. If you're walking in the Spirit, then you know you can tell it. There's going to be evidence. Wow, you know what? My heart, I just really want to be kind to that person. They weren't kind to me. That's okay. I'm going to let that go. But I'm going to be kind to them regardless. Okay, there's a fruit that's coming on your tree that's evidence of Jesus alive and working in your heart and your life. You know what? I'm gonna exercise self-control here. I know I could have another cookie and I could get away with it, and I could even put a little more time on the treadmill today, but no, I don't need another cookie right now. I'm full. I've already had 12. No, I'm just kidding. It's kind of the way it was the other night for Nightlight for me. I'm like, no more candy, please. I about went down. But if I'm exercising self-control, I'm exercising a fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is at work in my life. And good things are being produced because of His presence, His power, His leadership, His empowering in my life. See, willpower alone doesn't do it. I don't know how many of you have been on that. You know, the other night I was running the thing I called the hamster ball. You know, people were getting in these things, and it was so much fun, and had two kids that almost got out to the road. But, you know, you get in this thing, and you run. And willpower is like being in that hamster wheel, you know. You ever had a hamster at home, and they get in the wheel, and they run and run and run. They just don't go anywhere. And it's kind of fun to watch them, and it's kind of cute, but then in another sense, it's kind of sad because you're going, they're just not making any progress, and they're putting so much into it. And that's kind of the way willpower is for us. Now, there are some people who have amazing willpower and who can hold out for a long, long time and have great self-discipline. But I'm telling you, when you try to diet or do something in your own willpower, you know, you do it all, and then all of a sudden, one night you snap, and they find you in the back of a donut shop in a comatose state because you ate too many donuts. You know what I'm saying? I mean, at some point, your willpower is kind of like a rubber band, and it just snaps. You can only stretch it so far, and then it snaps. And this is part of the thing where instead of us learning to live in the Spirit, we're still trying to do things in our flesh. Because our flesh wants to make us think that we can just conjure up enough willpower, build that willpower muscle to the place that we can do what we need to do and do it consistently. And it's interesting too, by the way, most of the time you'll find somebody who's exercising that willpower and you might even be impressed with them. There's some other area of their life that's really out of control. If you were to get to know them, you might see them in the gym all the time, and they got this buff body, but there's another part of their life that's out of control. You just don't see it right then. Willpower alone won't do it. Willpower is trying to do it in the strength of your own self. There's another power at work within us if we're believers, that if we will just submit to Him and surrender to Him and allow Him, He will help bring about change, and it won't be change that's due to our willpower. It'll be the change that He brings in our life, which is long-lasting, permanent, healing, and helpful. Galatians 5:18, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under that law anymore. See, we for some reason, we keep jumping over here and getting under that law again. And as soon as we do that, we get out from under the leading of the Spirit. And again, as I said a moment ago, I hope that at some point in your life, this clicks in and you go, well, you know what? I'm not walking in the tree of life here. Instead, I'm walking in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I'm not walking in the Spirit here. I'm walking in the flesh here. And that you begin to recognize it, because when you begin to recognize it, then you can adjust. You can get out of that tree. You can get out from under that law, and you can get back over here in the Spirit, where there are good things that will be produced in and through your life. There's four categories of sin mentioned there in Galatians chapter 5. There's sexual sin, there's emotional sin, there's sins of excess, and there's spiritual sins. You know, those things, they just naturally happen when you're not walking in the Spirit. Those things don't happen, that long list we read a moment ago, when you're walking in the Spirit. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the way we normally have heard that verse. Can I ask you just a question this morning? And maybe this one's going to throw you a little bit, but I want you to think about it. Why is there no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? Why is there no condemnation? If you and I continue somehow along the way to struggle with sin and sometimes fall into sin, why is there no condemnation? Because here's the answer, I believe, because God knows you'll still walk in this struggle, that you won't be perfect on this side of heaven. But His Spirit has given you a new way to live. You're forgiven, so you don't have to stay entangled. The price has been paid, so you don't have to continue down that road. There's no condemnation, folks, because quite honestly, it's not about me and it's not about my performance. It's about Jesus and what He did for us. It's about Him. It's about His grace. It's about His forgiveness. It's about His empowering presence. See, the devil wants you, I don't know if you've ever encountered anybody like this. I used to encounter people like this a lot on the streets when I was just out witnessing to people on the streets of downtown Louisville. People would say, I can't go to church. I've got to get my act together before I go to church. And I always stop and say, oh, no, you got that backwards. See, the devil wants you to believe you got to get your act together before coming to God. Can I just say it like this? No, you can't get your act together before coming to God. You can only get your act together by coming to God. Let me just read Galatians 5:22 and 23 again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's a litmus test. It's literally a checklist. You could literally day in and day out go, okay, am I walking in the Spirit? If I am, here's how I'll know. Here's how other people will experience me. Well, now there's an interesting question to ask. Ask your wife or your husband, how do you experience me? See, we think we think we're loving, but we're really harsh and selfish and self-centered. But ask your spouse, they'll be honest with you. But be ready for the answer. Don't let that turn into World War III, please. But it'll give you a clear indication of where you're at. Let me just mention two fruits as we close today. Goodness and self-control. I just want to talk about those two. We talked about the goodness of God. We sang about the goodness of God is chasing after me, coming after me. What is this whole concept of the goodness of God? What about goodness? Let me just say, goodness is God giving you the right desires. Goodness is God giving you the desire within you to do good, not bad, to please God, not sin. The desire within you and I to walk in the Spirit, there's a little switch, I think, within us that has to be flipped. When I walk in the Spirit, I have the desire to do good. When I walk in the Spirit, I want to be loving. When I walk in the Spirit, I'm naturally peaceful and kind and patient. But man, I tell you what, this world can cause that switch to be flipped. And all of a sudden, I'm over here, and I'm angry, and I'm impatient, and I'm frustrated, and I've had a horrible day, and when I come home, I'm going to kick the dog, even though he came to greet me like he hadn't seen me in years. I'm just upset. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I just fell into walking in the flesh, and I really fell into it. The little switch got flipped. Just like you, when you walk in and flip on the light switch, darkness, light, darkness, light. If we're going to walk in light, we're going to see the goodness of God manifested through us. We're going to have the right desires. We're going to want to do what is good, not bad. We're going to want to please God, not sin. And the Holy Spirit will give us those righteous desires. This morning, I'm on my knees first thing in the morning. This is my daily habit and part of my time with God is just falling on my knees at first thing in the morning, submitting my life to Christ, surrendering my life to Christ, and asking Him to help me through the power of His Holy Spirit to live a life that's pleasing to Him. I want to make sure the switch is flipped to light. Let me talk about one more. Self-control. Holy Spirit, give me self-control. Have you ever really thought about that? That self-control is a fruit of the Spirit? Now, there's that thing we call willpower that's kind of a product of our flesh, our human nature. But there's also this fruit of the Spirit called self-control. See, our flesh just gives in easily. But the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit's in control, He gives us self-control. In other words, He gives us the grace to overcome. You know, I don't know if you ever kind of look back at your life and consider where you've come from and consider what God has done in you. I do from time to time. And I remember who I was. Got a pretty clear picture of that. But I'm not Him anymore. There's an old me, and there's a new me who's being made new in Christ. I was a mess. I was selfish. I was not a person of great self-control. I was impatient. I was angry. I remember that. And that wasn't good. That's not who I am anymore. God has changed so much in me, but there's more to go. Like we sang in Canvas and the Clay, He's not finished with me yet. He's not finished with me yet. He's not finished with me yet. See, let me just say this again, and I hope you're getting this today. You don't change by trying to change. You change by following the Holy Spirit. See, change to my anger, change to my impatience began to happen. And I can tell you some very specific times and dates and occasions when not condemnation, but conviction came. Because see, the Lord's really faithful. There were times I didn't know I was walking in the flesh. I didn't have the wisdom and discernment to go, man, you're really in the flesh, Jeff. You need to be over here in the Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit had to show me that. Jeff, that's anger. That's not of me. You're bringing destruction. You're not bringing life when you fall into that. You absolutely need to do something about that. Wow. Listen, the Lord knows how to correct us. He's a loving Father. Lots of moments like that where God just put His finger. That's the flesh. That's the flesh. You've got to crucify that. You've got to get rid of that. Come over here. Let me show you how to walk in the Spirit so that instead of that, now there's peace, now there's joy, now there's love, now there's kindness. You don't change by trying to change. You change by following the Holy Spirit's power and presence, by repenting and following God's direction in your life. Romans 8:11 says this, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your body through His Holy Spirit who dwells in you. And lastly, we crucify the flesh. We refuse to allow the flesh to control us and to destroy our destiny. Galatians 5:24 and 25 says, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Folks, stop trying to change on your own. Some of you who are so discouraged, it's not about your willpower. Just admit your need to God today and ask the Holy Spirit to help you every day to walk in victory and listen to Him. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me? I'm going to invite the ministry team and the worship team up real quick, please. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to pray over a couple of things this morning. First of all, if you're here today and you have never fully or truly surrendered your heart to Christ, then I want to give you that opportunity right now, right where you're sitting. You can just cry out to the Lord right now. He loves you so much. And I'll even pray a prayer, and if you want to pray along with me, you can. To say, dear God, I really need You in my life. I submit my life to You today. Forgive me of all my sin. Come and live in my heart. And let me show me how to live for You from this day forward. In Jesus' name. If that's you this morning, just with every head still bowed, every eye still closed, just would love to see a hand just raised just to acknowledge you prayed that with me today. Praise God. For the rest of us here this morning, I want to pray for us that we would learn better and better how to walk by the power of grace, God's empowering presence, to truly change in the areas we need to change. Lord, I ask that You do that in every heart here today. Show us, help us. Help us, Lord, to walk in the Spirit day in and day out, to overcome the temptations of this flesh that constantly claw at us. To live Spirit first, Spirit in charge, in the tree of life, walking in the Spirit and overcoming those things of the flesh in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God bless you. We're going to worship. Would you stand with me? We're going to sing this song together. And if you need ministry, one of these brothers or sisters would love to pray with you this morning. And then I'll come back and close this in just a moment. God bless you.